on KLYT. This is ABQ Connect.
Zachary Mettler joins us. He's a staff writer and a communications liaison. He recently wrote a story at Focus, Focus on the Family's Daily Citizen. The website for that is thedailycitizen.org, but we want to focus a bit on that article. Zach, thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Steve, thanks for having me on. It's great to talk with you.
And for those looking for the article at Daily Citizen, what to do when God is silent, something I think most of us at one time or another, maybe even right, hopefully, you know, right now we're going to be speaking to someone who's going through a struggle like this. But what prompted you to write the article?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know about you, but I honestly frequently feel like God is silent. You know, there's things that I've been praying for days and weeks and months. And sometimes I hear God and see God reply right away. And, you know, things like a miraculous healing potentially, or like an estranged family member who reaches out to reconcile. These situations where they're so improbable and you've been praying for them for a long time and then see God at work, it's really easy to see God's presence through those things. But recently a friend of mine, he had a cancer scare, and we're still not quite sure what exactly is going to be his diagnosis. But it got me thinking, you know, God absolutely heals. I believe in God's miraculous healing. But sometimes we pray for something and we don't see God react in the way that we're asking for. And so how do we react when those situations occur? And what do we do? I think that's really important. If you're praying for something for, like I said, for days or weeks or months, I'm sure most Christians can relate to that kind of experience. And you don't see God working right away or as you expect him to. How long does it take before you stop talking to him entirely? You know, I think that's a worry of mine. And so that's why I wrote this article, to try to encourage people to take the right steps and the proactive steps to keep their faith growing through difficult circumstances.
Yeah, and you mentioned the importance of prayer, and specifically a situation here, obviously, where you're praying for a friend and, you know, you're not really sure you're seeing an answer to prayer. I love that, you know, you encourage people, you know, continue in your prayer. But why is prayer so important?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a huge question. But again, an advice I'd give to your audience first, if you're encountering those kinds of situations, is to keep praying. Don't stop praying. You know, I believe God works miracles through prayer. I've seen that in my own life. Just a couple, last year, actually, my grandfather, he was diagnosed with esophageal cancer. And I was praying for him for literally months that he wouldn't have to have this horrible surgery where they basically remove part of his esophagus. And they said, the doctor said there was a very slight chance that he wouldn't have to go through this surgery if he did radiation. And yet I knew the consequences of what it could mean for his just quality of life. And so I was praying for this for a long time. And praise God, through radiation, and I believe through God's miraculous healing, today he's cancer-free and he didn't have to go through that surgery. And so absolutely, when you're praying, God does answer prayers in ways that we ask sometimes, but sometimes that doesn't always happen. And so I think when we don't see God working, we don't see a direct and immediate answer to our prayer, prayer is still really important because it helps us trust that God is always at work to bring about his providential plan. Sometimes praying is the purpose of it is not just to get something from God, even though he does answer our prayers in that way, but it's to align our will to his more sovereign and more eternal will. I think that's also a really important key aspect of prayer.
Yeah, I love that you brought that up. I was sitting here thinking the same thing. You know, we can pray for, you know, say in a circumstance like this where a friend is ill and potentially a disease that can remove them from this earth.
Right.
Sometimes I think we forget that healing could mean that God takes someone home and they're completely healed.
Right.
And I'm sorry, I shouldn't even chuckle, because it's a difficult time for those that are left behind. They miss the person that's mm-hmm. here. But I think what you said too about aligning ourselves to his will, it's something we often forget. But if we go back to the disciples' prayer, right? Thy will be done. We need to, you know, kind of think through that disciple's prayer and what we are praying for his will to be done, and that we would have our hearts and minds aligned to that. Now, what do you, you know, and that's not an easy thing to say to someone, you know, man, I, you know, this is happening. I've been praying and God's not answering. When the truth is, I mean, he may have answered. We just weren't listening. It's not easy when someone's having that kind of difficulty, you know, to go and just say something like, well, maybe you need to align your prayers to his will. What do you say to someone who thinks prayer is meaningless?
Yeah, no, that's a really important question. You know, we don't always know why God answers our prayers in different ways. You know, I mentioned the story of my grandfather being healed. And I'm really grateful for that. I'm so grateful to have my grandfather still around. And for some reason, God answered my prayer in the sense that he healed my grandfather this side of heaven. But I know that doesn't always happen. And in another, you know, personal story of mine a couple of years ago, my uncle was actually diagnosed with glioblastoma. And if you know much about glioblastoma, it's a really tough fight. He went through chemo, he went through radiation. I was praying for him for his healing for months, or maybe even over a year. He ended up passing away a little over a year ago. And so why did God choose to heal my grandfather, at least in the way that I was asking, but he chose not to heal my uncle? And that's a huge question, and I don't know. The answer is I don't know. And so sometimes sitting in that mystery and, you know, trusting that God is faithful in the midst of, you know, questions that we have, I think is really important. We don't always know the answer, and we don't always know why God answers certain prayers in the way that we like, but not others. But continuing to pray, I think, is really important part of that.
And you know, I kind of touched on this already. Sometimes God is silent, you know, are there times when we think he's silent, but the truth is we're not dialed in yet and haven't, you know, realized that he did give an answer?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's certainly another possibility. You know, C.S. Lewis, he wrote a great book called A Grief Observed. And if any of your audience is, you know, struggling with, especially the loss of a family member, I'd recommend it to them. And he wrote this right after his wife passed away, Joy Davidman. And he just goes through his thought process as he's trying to process the grief from his wife's death. And he says this great quote. He says, "Go to God when your need is desperate, when all other help is in vain. And what do you find? A door slammed in your face and a sound of bolting and double bolting on the inside. After that, silence." And so experiencing the silence of God is not just something that, you know, is a problem to be solved. This is, I think, a thing that many Christians go through. C.S. Lewis, he talks about how it's really easy to feel God's presence when things are going well, when you know, it's just a really nice day outside and your health is great. You know, it's easy to feel God's presence in that sense. But then when something tragic happens and God doesn't seem to be listening to you, he can appear to be silent. And what he's doing in that circumstance, we don't always know. And maybe he's trying to teach you to trust in him. Maybe the reason he takes somebody at a certain time to come home is because it was just time for them to go to heaven, you know, and he has this different perspective that we can't always see. And so trusting in God in those situations, I think, is really important.
And then how important is it to have, you know, have yourself surrounded with other people in the faith?
Yeah, that's the second piece of advice I'd give your audience. First is to keep praying if you're going through difficult circumstances or you feel like God is silent. Don't give up. But second, yeah, is to surround yourself, especially with Christian family and friends who can pray for you, who can support you, who can love you and give you a different perspective as you're going through whatever you're struggling with. So I think that's another really important part. In my own life, I've seen God answer prayers through maybe the words that somebody says, through a piece of advice somebody gives me, or something that I've been, you know, thinking about and praying about. And at the right moments, a Christian believer, a friend of mine, or a pastor says something, and I know that God's speaking to me through that. That happens not infrequently. And so staying in community, I think, is another really key aspect of working through the silence of God.
And, you know, a lot of what we've talked about in way of prayer is at times, you know, when we or someone we know is going through a health issue, I know in your article, actually, you mentioned Tim Keller's book, Walking with God Through Pain and Suffering. I'm going to assume that not only in areas of health, but other areas, whether it's finances or relationship struggles or, you know, there's certainly applicable things from that book that people could apply.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I recommend A Degree for Observed. That book that you mentioned, Walking with God Through Pain and Suffering by Pastor Tim Keller, is another really good book. I mean, he just goes through a Christian perspective of what it means to suffer. Like, how can we believe in and trust in God through the sufferings that we all go through in this life? Some great sufferings, some pretty minor. But how do we trust in God through these things? He has a great quote. He says that in Jesus Christ, we see that God actually experiences the pain of the fire as we do. He truly is God with us in love and understanding in our anguish. And then he continues, he says that Jesus Christ, he plunged himself into our furnace so that when we find ourselves in the fire, we can turn to him and know we will not be consumed. And so that's another piece of advice I'd give your audience is, first, to keep praying. Second, to get involved in the community and stay connected to believers around you, family and friends who are Christian believers. But the third is to remember that no matter what your present circumstances might be, whether you're going through intense sufferings or small minor inconveniences, remember that God is not silent. Because, especially we remember this, especially during the Lenten season and coming up to Easter, because God has answered us and answered our sufferings and answered even our sin, our own culpable sin, by responding to us and sending His Son Jesus Christ into our suffering to suffer with us and for us and because of us, because of our sin. And so remember that no matter how you might feel at the moment, the fact and the reality, the truth, is that God has sent His Son into our world to suffer alongside us. We have a high priest who can empathize with us because he's experienced the things that we have experienced. Alvin Plantinga, he's a Christian philosopher. He has this great quote. He says, as the Christian sees things, God does not stand by coolly observing the suffering of His creatures. He enters into and shares our suffering. He endures the anguish of seeing His Son, the second person of the Trinity, consigned to the bitterly cruel and shameful death of the cross. And like I said, we're coming up to Easter, and I think it's a great quote to focus us on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and how He enters into and shares our sufferings and suffers because and for of us.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that we haven't touched on much here is, you know, God's timing. And His timing is not ours. His ways are not ours, the Bible tells us. I was recently reminded, I won't go into the whole story, but Frank Turek, he's in town this weekend, and we heard him at a conference and then in the pulpit at Calvary Church here in Albuquerque. And it was more on the topic of, you know, dealing with the question of, you know, if God is good, why evil? Mm. And, you know, sometimes we don't see what God's full plan is. And sometimes it could be years later before we understand why something that we would, you know, give credit to evil. But God actually, you know, well, and he told a recent story, but, you know, when you go back to the story of Joseph being thrown into slavery, and then you see how he was used years and years later to save countless people during a famine. So, he does hear us. He does listen. He numbers our hairs. He wove us into the womb. I mean, He loves us so much. He sent His Son. There's so many things as we run to Scripture and spend time in Scripture with those around us that are in the faith as well. Some of the things we've talked about, but there are resources. And if you just joined us, remember this conversation we're having with Zachary Mettler, author of the article "What to Do When God Is Silent" from Daily Citizen. Which, by the way, you can find on the website, thedailycitizen.org. there are resources available. I want to give some of those out. FocusOnTheFamily.com/get help. If you're in need of prayer, the number you hear daily on Focus on the Family, heard at 7 a.m. Monday through Friday, at the end of the show, you hear them constantly reminding us. That number is 1-800, the letter A, family, or 1-800-232-6459. And more times than I can count, having guests like you on, Zachary, Zach, we've reminded our listeners there's a counseling department at Focus on the Family. You can call them as well at 1-855-771-HELP. And that's available 5 a.m. to 7 p.m. Central Time on weekdays. Once again, Zachary Mettler's been our guest. And Zachary was the author of the article, What to Do When God is Silent. And you'll find that at thedailycitizen.org. Zach, anything else you want to add to that?
The only thing I'd add is another piece of advice maybe is to encourage your audience to consider keeping a prayer journal. It's something that I've found helpful in the past, especially if you're wondering where God is. Just recounting those prayers, remembering what you prayed for, you can see God work over time. And then as a final thing, you mentioned the counseling number, but that's something that I've used in the past. It's been very helpful to me. And so we'd love to talk with you, to pray with you, to give you some pointers, and then maybe even to refer you to a local counselor in your area if you need it. And again, that number is 1-855-771-HELP. So.
Very good. Well, Zach Mettler, thanks for your time, and we look forward to having you on again.
Awesome. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
All right. And thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.